Well, hello everybody. This is Douglas Newsom and Tyler Gallagher. We're here with Inner Dialogue, a show about talking to yourself and getting the information from the inside. How are you doing, Tyler?
Oh, I'm doing really, really well. How are you doing, man?
So today there's so many things to talk about. So much is happening. Oh, so much is happening.
Talk to me.
Well, have you been following what's occurring with the debates and the Republican and Democratic nominations?
Oh boy, I don't know. I got to tell you, I don't want to go to negative town. So if we're going to be
well, that's why I brought it up.
Let's stop.
You know, that's why I brought it up. On so, you know, and I think about this often.
Uh-huh.
On so many levels, when you start to get into a place of peace, it's very difficult to want to talk about or hear about matters that give us angst or make us worry or upset us. For example,
I gotta add this. I have to tell you, in order for, and we've had this discussion many times, and I know you already believe this, and this is just rehashing, but you got to understand everything in this world exists in duality. You know, we got the on and off switch. You got hot and cold. You got angry and sad, you know, or angry and happy. You got, you know what I mean? There's duality in everything.
Indeed.
So for you to experience bliss and peace, you have to see the other end of it and see that that's something you don't want. It will always exist. And, it's existed all through humanity, our entire lives. And it's kind of like, there's an old analogy I used to use and I used to hear, and it's about, it was an analogy about a party, and as someone asking somebody, how was the party? And this person spent his evening where a fight went down and you know, people got really drunk and people fell over. And his perception of the party was a little different than the guy who was outside where everyone was having a great time, they, you know, catching some air, and he saw a totally different party. They're at the same party, just totally different views on how the party went.
So why do we have this magnetism by people to media that always gives us bad news?
Well, I think that you gotta, you know, I gotta tell you personally, I mean, and for the big stuff, obviously you can't get away from it, which is good, because I think that, you know, we need to, but I gotta tell you the news I personally feel, and I'm just one man with opinion, the news is a business, and they need news.
Well, how much time would we spend, like, if I gave you the option, we have Clear Channel 1 and we have Clear Channel 2. And Clear Channel 2, it talks about all the dirty, despicable things that are going wrong in this world. Sensationalizing it, in-your-face war, something that electrifies you or pisses you off. And on the other one, we have this, let's just call it a spiritual or a religious programming.
Yeah, it talks about, you know, the top donator for the year in contributions, you know, top philanthropist.
And how many people would go to that show? How many people would actually turn on the network that only has good things, like the hero of the day, or the guy who saved his cat, or something like that, the philanthropic man who's helping the people in Africa to be more illiterate?
100%.
Do you think that a network like that in today's arena would command enough of the world's population or viewers that it would be a viable alternative to today's ridiculous news organizations?
Well, I got to tell you this. This strikes me when you were talking. This thought hit me. I got to tell you, you know, I think that what we see on the TV is only a reflection of where we are as humans, where majority are, sorry, as humans, what we see on the TV. For example, you know, you got the news. I believe that it's so devastating and so bad because there's people that are so unhappy with their lives that in some, I noticed in some sick, you know, disturbed way a little bit, they watch the news to relieve themselves of their daily struggles.
It's almost like watching Springer.
Yes, exactly.
Right? And watching a person on TV making themselves more ridiculous in order to make yourself feel like you have a less ridiculous world.
Exactly. So someone who's doing less ridiculous stuff, but they're embarrassed by it, they watch Springer and they're like, damn, I'm actually pretty normal compared to these guys.
But that's where it becomes, where I see, because as you know, one of our hopes, one of my dreams, has always been to build a media network that is really empowering people, making them feel their very best. And to me, it seems there's got to be a way to make that sort of a network appealing to people in general to bring the eyeballs to something like that versus what we have today, which is tabloid entertainment.
Can I tell you this, and I truly believe this, Doug, as and it's already starting to happen, as humans are starting to wake up and they're starting to realize that this journey, this life they're living is so simple and so simplistic, and they finally realize that it's just a reward. That's all this is, that it's a reward, and they did something to be able to be here. Once people start waking up, which it's already occurring, let me tell you, there will be a demand for that kind of programming. There will be a demand, but, you know, it's a slow process. The world has gone through such grief for so long, I believe, you know, from, you
but
know.
But wouldn't we see that demand already exist? Because if there were a market for it, if we were to push two buttons, let's say we had two types of movies. One was a feel-good movie, like spiritual movies, which, as you and I both know, rarely make money, right? And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have companies like Lionsgate that shove every horror movie out there that they can.
Now, let me ask you this. This is really, I am glad you brought this up, sir. Why don't you answer that question to us? Because, audience, if you don't know this, Doug, he doesn't watch spiritual movies. He does and he doesn't. A majority of, and I can attest to this, he loves horror films, brutal horror films, like Saw and gruesome films where people are getting mutilated and killed, and there's disturbing, there's werewolves, and there's dragons, and there's Draculas. And zombies. Zombies is one of his favorite. Let me ask you that. Why does that appeal to you? Maybe you can help answer that.
You know, now that's a difficult question to answer, and I haven't really thought about it. I guess on some levels it's almost as appealing to me as, let's say, Warcraft might be to you. You know? Where you're out there and you're slaying your competitors, or you're into a war game. So on some level, I think just being observant of it, I guess on some levels I stand apart from it. I look at it and I observe it, and I don't get, my head doesn't get to the point where it's affected by it so much as I'm an observer of it, almost like I'm an observer of my life and the bad situations, and I try not to let the negative emotions overcome me because I'm more of an observer of those emotions now. And more of an even keel that way. But I think maybe it's just the entertainment value of it. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what drives me to watch those shows. Don't get me wrong. If I see a good Springer episode, I'm in like Flynn. What's up with that?
You know, I gotta tell you, something really just hit me, Doug. Here's my thoughts. I share it with you, and I want to get your thoughts on it. What if horror movies is just how you're programmed to enjoy the journey? You just can't explain it, which there doesn't need to be an explanation. It's kind of like you enjoy surfing in the Bahamas. You're surfing. There doesn't have to be an explanation. You just enjoy it. It stimulates a part of you, and you enjoy it. So in saying that, I would almost go to say that that's what horror films do for you.
Or maybe like fear. Can you imagine? Why do people skydive? Or why do people take the chance? Why would somebody jump out of a perfectly good airplane?
It's just in their DNA. It excites them.
It excites them.
I got to tell
you. So on some level, maybe the idea that there's polarity, that we can go to some further extreme on an opposite level, can be exciting. Is that an element to the, let's say, the evil mind? Is there an element of excitement?
No,
or
I almost have this thought. I do have this thought. When you talk about these films, right now, you like zombie films, right?
No, I like vampires.
Okay, vampire films, right?
Yep.
What if somebody took a vampire film and made it spiritual?
Wouldn't that be awesome?
And they not have you.
So now maybe what you're saying is maybe we should marry the two. A little bit of horror with a little spiritualism.
I'm just saying.
The first spiritual vampire. By the way, that's a good idea.
You know, isn't it? You know, we talk about, I got to tell you, personally for me, growing up, my mom, she was a born-again Christian and very radical. She was off the Bible camp all the time. If I ever got in trouble, it wasn't groundings. It was casting the demons out of me. This is a true story. I'm not kidding you. No, I'm not kidding you. If I ever did something wrong, like, I don't know, I hit my brother or I don't know, just whatever it is that kids get into, she would put her hand on my head and cast demons out of me. I swear to you, this is the truth. I'm not kidding you. This is the honest to God truth. And, she used to be like, I release the demons, and she used to cast, me and my brothers, we enjoyed a video game called Zelda. My mom was so radical. This game had elves, and it had, like fantasy-type creatures, like beasts and stuff that you had to slay. And it was a game. It was all in good fun. And we would come home. We came home one time, and she traded that game for Wheel of Fortune. And I guess the long-winded of me bringing all this up is, you know, I got to tell you, and even I find myself, truthfully, I find myself being judgmental sometimes. I think maybe we misinterpret certain situations, and we automatically judge them. Do you know what I mean? I'll give you an example, and this is a true story. I see Doug watching these horror films, and I start going, Doug, I mean, for a guy like you that's being spiritual and growing, and you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
I know. It really pisses you off. I've told my mom about that millions of times.
I've got to tell you, now I sit thinking, going, it's part of the reward. You know, it's not like you're going out and slaying people, and you know what I mean? You're watching it on TV. What's the big deal? You know
but there
I mean?
Is something, I think on some level, I really honestly do, I think on some level that there is something wrong in that. If it becomes an addiction. And I think on to many people, these things can become addiction. Perversions, even though they might be exciting, for example, the days of the Romans when they had, sex out and open and, they were movies like Caligula and so forth, which kind of depict maybe Romans, maybe not truly as they were sexually, but depraved, mentally depraved and sexually promiscuous and the whole nine yards. And that sort of perversion lends itself into the, I think there might be a general naughty nerve within us that just feels excited or intrigued by that, and so we want to investigate it. And sadly, I think the more that it's allowed, or not allowed, I don't like to use that word, because I think everything to some degree is allowed based on, but I think that in extremes is a bad thing. Just like media today, the news today.
But check this out, and I want to, I know you're going to the news, but I got to add this, because before we get off the topic, what if, I'm forgetting it now, this sucks. Go ahead, say your thing. I'll come back with it. That's why sometimes I have to.
Brain fart.
It was pretty profound. It will come
back. Do you want me to help you?
Go ahead, go ahead.
Keep okay.
So you were talking about the news. We'll come back. I apologize. Go ahead, my friend.
Oh, no, I totally forgot what I was going to say, so I'm just going to wait till you talk first.
We're talking about we're talking about some sick perversion within us, and then you were talking about in the news.
Yeah, I think...
I got it. It came. It came back. What? Let me tell you this. Well, it goes back to what we were saying. How do you define something that's bad? When you cause uninvited pain to something or someone else, right?
Right.
You're watching these films, the guys that made it, it didn't hurt them. You, it's not hurting. It's not hurting anybody around, so what's wrong with it? You know what? Nothing. Nothing's wrong with it.
But how about, let's say, a Jerry Springer show where they where they make somebody look ridiculous, or a particular person or a race or a gender look ridiculous, and other people can laugh at that. Or it molds the opinions of the population that view it to be something other than something beautiful, but maybe something ugly. Is that good?
Well, let me tell you.
Is he hurting anybody?
I would call no, he's not, because I would call it invited pain. They've seen the Jerry Springer show.
Right.
They know that it's not a heartwarming show where you mend each other's hearts and it's a love fest.
So what you're saying is we could have
you fight. They know what they're getting into, and I got to tell you, Doug, we never made the Jerry Springer show, but I can tell you this: I've seen the behind the scenes, and the people that go on that show, they are well aware. They have rehearsals of what's going to go down. So I would call that invited pain.
Invited pain.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's say that some of it is real, like a guy goes on there and, you know, all of a sudden he ends up looking like a fool and he's actually really hurt and some people enjoy that. I still got to call that invited pain for the individual on that show.
How about some young, let's say there's a 9-year-old who accidentally mm-hmm. turns on the boob tube,
mm-hmm.
sees this degradation of another person,
mm-hmm.
gets a particular mindset as a result, and endlessly that causes wrong thought in the future that may harm that young individual. Is that uninvited pain? Or is it a bad thing? Is it invited pain?
But in what sense does it cause this kid pain?
Maybe because he feels that, let's say that they had a show on 9-year-old.
Oh, I got it. Well, for that young man, if it hurts him, then it's bad. But let's say we've got a trailer park person or just someone who is into that stuff. You know, like when I say, you know what I'm talking about, like the mm-hmm. demographic that really, you know.
What it appeals to, right?
There we go. That it appeals to. But they're at home laughing. For them, it's not bad. For this kid who is hurt and it's affected him, it's bad.
But what if these laughter, these jeers, this laughter, actually makes them more biased or gives them a worldview that actually isn't as empowering for them or gives them a sense that they can empower others but does just the opposite
in effect? I got to tell you this. I simply, truly believe this. Our truth are only truths to us. We all have a different pair of glasses. You're far-sighted, I'm near-sighted.
But don't we have a responsibility?
Hold on, let me finish
okay.
this thought, because I think this is profound. We all have our own truths, okay? Let me ask you this. If there's two individuals who have in their DNA, you know, SMS, like whipping each other with chains and stuff, it excites them and it makes them feel good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are, weird enough, I judge, there are individuals out there that...
which believe pain is pleasure and pleasure is pain.
Hit each other with chains and they both love it.
Yeah.
Now, what if a kid saw this and it devastated him? To us, to the judgmental, we'd call the people hitting each other bad.
Right.
But it's not. To them, it's not bad.
But what if the 9-year-old who saw this went out and hit his younger brother with a chain and thought that it was okay to do as a result of watching the show?
Again, to this little kid, right?
Yes.
It's bad. Hold on. Let me tell you this. Oh, this is so good. Let me tell you this. And in saying this, everybody, Doug, you, myself, everybody holds their own truth. So what do I mean by that? I mean, if it's, we can't...
But how old are you before I can expect you can hold your own truth?
But, you are a challenging sir. I love it. Let me tell you this, first off. I don't have all the answers. I can only tell you my truth and what sounds logical to me. And what sounds logical to me and my truth, and it could totally be different for somebody else, right, is if it hurts this kid, it's bad for him. If it hurts those two who are whipping each other, it's bad for them. Whenever something causes another uninvited pain for that individual, it is bad.
I would agree with that.
Now, everybody is going to have different realities, different truths. Let me tell you this, for myself. If I go out drinking, right, and I get, you know, I have so much to drink, I'll tell you, the next day I will be hurting. I will have a headache. I will have a hangover. I will feel terrible. I will be depressed. That is, you know, that hurts me, right?
Right.
That causes me uninvited pain. I don't want that pain, right?
Right.
I wanted that happiness. The next day, that's uninvited. I didn't want that. That, all of a sudden, for me, is bad.
Right.
Tyler Gallagher is bad, right?
Right.
Let me tell you this. The same act of drinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have an individual who goes out, they drink, they end up having beautiful conversation with their friends. You know, they have such a lovely time. They go home, have a beautiful conversation yet again.
Make love to their wife.
Food. Let me, hold on. They wake up the next day, and they're feeling great. I hate to say it, but for them, until it causes them uninvited pain, it's good. So drinking can be good for others and bad for others. It doesn't mean in general it's a bad thing. It's bad when it hurts another, and that's when, you know what I mean?
And I think on so many levels, though, just like the alcohol, the news, to some level, the news would always report some negative information. It, over time, makes us either apathetic to reality, or we become apathetic to the disillusioned. Or we might even get upset. In many ways, it can make you become depressed.
Let me.
So
I gotta play devil's advocate.
Okay.
What if there are people, and there are people out there, just like you like your zombie films, and yes, I like to play World of Warcraft. What if there's individuals who they just can't explain it? They love watching negative news.
Because they get energized to do something from that news.
Yeah, but what if this news actually serves a purpose for some people? And instead of them going out and getting hooked on drugs or going out and drinking, how they unwind from their day is watching all the negative in the world on TV.
Interesting. Now, I like the devil's advocate in you. Very good. Very good.
What are your thoughts on that?
What do I think?
Let me tell you, I think the truth is, for the news, it's bad for you, Douglas Newsom.
I think that's great to hear you speak and see the devil's advocate point of view on a topic. This is the sort of dialogue, the inner sort of dialogue I like to encourage with all subject matter, with all people. If we can have such an open and honest dialogue that can confront issues on both sides of the spectrum and come to an understanding that can be truth at different levels for different people, that is so amazing to see that that does my heart good. That alone does my heart good. So I just throw that out there.
Yes. I think that's so beautiful what you just said, and I reinforce that 100%. And you know, I got to tell you, just this conversation alone, really, Doug, it's making me think differently. I'm sitting here, and the thoughts in my head are spinning. know, just like that video game when I was a kid. My mom took it away, but I got to tell you, it brought such joy to me and my brother. I used to just get so excited, and it was like such a reward to play this game. And just because it looked bad to my mom, all of a sudden it got stripped from me. But what if we could look at the world and realize that everybody has their own truth? Wouldn't that be a different world?
Wouldn't that? And this is why sometimes I don't get upset, but I worry a little bit. I worry a little bit because I think today's idea of globalization, of one world government, one understanding where you have a power elite and a shrinking middle class, and we're all hearing, you know, the sound bites and the opinions of very few, and it's, you know, on every station that we have today. I think there's something sad in that because we lose our ability to be diverse, to be unique, to think outside the box, to have numerous truths. That's the sad part, and that's, I think, why news to some degree, causes me uninvited pain.
No, yeah. You, right? You're discovering your truth because I think this journey is all about how, what is the best way for me to enjoy this reward. And this world is so beautiful and it's so unique and so, reward is so different for so many people. You can take someone and you can give them a backpack and a forest, and that's a reward for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take someone, give them a surfboard and water, and that's a reward for them.
Yeah.
Then you can take someone and give them labor. As odd as that sounds, of building something and sweating and having their back go out, you know, not go out, but they're, you know.
Like a hard workout in the gym.
And that's the reward, that's reward for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I gotta tell you this. I don't believe this, but this thought has struck me, and I've given it thought, and I want to throw it to you and just get your thought. It's started to develop in me, and I've given it some attention sometimes, but I want to get your thoughts on this, okay?
Okay.
They say we live in multiple dimensions, yes?
Yes.
Right? Meaning that we exist in multiple places at the same time, correct?
Right.
Have you ever thought of this? And I got to tell you, this thought has come to me because I've had such vivid dreams. Have you ever had such vivid dreams where, like, the next day it feels like everything's been reset? Or, like, it almost takes you a second to, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You ever had such vivid dreams that, like...
Many.
You know what I mean? It almost feels like you traveled somewhere and then you're back.
Mm-hmm. Many. In fact, sometimes they're so real that during the day I almost feel like I had deja vu and it was simply referring to the dream I had.
What are your thoughts on this? What if this world that we live in, right,
mm-hmm.
is so, yeah, and again, this is just a thought I've entertained. It's not what I believe, but it's something to think about. What if this experience is exactly what I said it is? It's a reward, and it happens as we think it out to be. For example, an individual thinks that the world is going to end in the year 2000, right?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that, 1999 turns 2000, the world's going to end?
Yeah, the Y2K?
Yeah, let me ask you this, or let me plant this thought. What if, for those individuals who believe the reality, because there were people that were so convinced the world was going to end come the year 2000, exactly 2000, boom, the world ends, right?
Right.
What if the world ended for these people?
And part of them lived on in a different dimension, and part of them stayed in the old dimension, you mean?
What if this world has already ended? Does this make any sense? Like, what if this world is only what we think it is? So if you think it's one world government, you're in the one world government realm. But let's say you're in the beautiful world of where love gets restored, and that's what happens in your experience. What if this that we live is only a reflection of what we believe?
I believe on a mass level, you'd have to take the belief systems of all people, combine them, and we all live within that seeming apparent reality on a physicality level.
Right.
But on an individual level, I don't know if we can separate ourselves from that physical reality that's made up by the consciousness of the mass.
Right. Very complicated what you just said. Why, elaborate on it, because I want to understand what you just said.
I think we're all participating in this reality. And so even though we have a unique individual perspective of it, we all live within it. So Y2K, if you believe that it was going to end reality for you, you know, and there were a lot of people that believed that, I still see them walking around today. You know.
No, but what I'm saying, right, you're seeing the this world as one place.
Right.
Right? What I'm trying to throw at you is an entertaining thought of what if there's a million, billions of Earths, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on one person's reality.
You know,
You know what I'm saying?
I think on some level that's absolutely true, but I don't know if we can reach those levels.
No, absolutely not, but I'm just saying this.
Mm-hmm.
What if, right, there's individuals who thought the world was going to end and that was their belief and the world did end because that's the reality they lived in, they created. What if we're living in so many different places, right?
Oh, so you're saying like I'm living, like say I right now live as
Chris
I
Douglas,
here and then...
Douglas in my reality, Tyler Gallagher's reality, but what
Douglas
if...
Douglas is a different person.
Exactly. What
gotcha.
In Douglas's reality, right?
Right.
There's a different Tyler and the world ends.
You know, I've thought...
You know what I'm saying?
I've thought about that too.
And what if this world is nothing but a reflection of what you believe?
Interesting. I think they're
interesting.
It would sure be fun to believe, and on a spiritual level, when we cross over, many spiritualists would probably argue that that is exactly the way it is, just not here and now.
Because, you know, they talk about the universe and how complex it is and how it spans for trillions, they don't even have a number for
20
how
billion.
Big the universe is. I think it's possible to have billions of Earths in this universe, and for every single individual, it's a different experience.
I think that that's entirely likely.
And if you believe that the world is going to be globalized and you're all going to have chips in you and you're going to be controlled, that's the world you're going to see unfold.
You know, on so many levels, Tyler, I think that you're right.
It's interesting.
But I think on so many levels, too, that there is an element of mass consciousness that we all reside within.
Huh?
See, you got to bear in mind, if we're all one, right?
Yeah.
Then your thought of Douglas Newsom in your reality is the same as mine in mine because you and I are one.
Right.
Right. So under that condition, there is no alternate reality. There can only be one. Right?
Very interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm only entertaining this thought. It's only an entertaining of a thought.
You know what would be interesting? If we could come up with some sort of a dynamic where you had a network that propagated only good news, but they did it in such a way is it was so entertaining and so empowering, it would compete with news as it exists today. I'd love that. Today I was thinking of my mom. We have a lot of good discussions. I love my mom. She's a brilliant lady.
Your mom is a wonderful lady.
Brilliant lady and such a beautiful lady. You know, I was thinking, gosh, you know, Is there anything that I could do that could only bring good about? You know, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, my purpose in life is to only bring good about. But, and then she says, you know, everything brings good and brings bad. If you were right now to create perpetual energy or perpetual motion or free energy, right, then there would be some person out there or some agency out there that would utilize that same information for something negative.
Oh, big time.
Big time, right?
Oh, it happens every day, all the time. There's people that make a living off of it.
So there's nothing that we can create. And I thought about this. Is there anything we can create, or is there really nothing we can create that has only the positive side of the spectrum for all people to look forward to? Or must it come with duality so that we see the negative aspect of the reality you create?
I got a beautiful thought that just hit me.
Mm.
It ties into this, though. I feel like you're my mom watching us play that game and going, hey, guys, that's a terrible game. I'm getting Wheel of Fortune.
Right?
Right. This world, Doug, if everyone will realize one day, I truly 100% believe this more than I ever have, is nothing less than a reward. We all did something right to be able to live here.
You know what my mother said today? What
did your mother say?
She said, hell is right here, right now. There's no hell. Hell is right here, right now, in a world of duality, and this is where you learn, and then from this part, you kind of graduate spiritually to higher and higher realms of more beauty, you know, like heaven, per se. So it doesn't get any worse than really right here, right now.
Well, let me ask you this. Knowing that this is a reward, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're pointing out and going that this bad news is terrible and we got to change this, right?
Right.
But what if you just focused on how to enjoy your reward? And as the world changes how they want to enjoy their reward, because you could have that guy goes to the Bahamas, remember the whole analogy I used, that this reward, we're dropped off in a plane, and, you know, he finishes reading a book and now wants to go surfing. You know, until the world wants to change their reward, right now the news, right, to some individuals is uplifting them.
You know, on some level,
right?
When I first
started... all they're asking for, so who are you to intervene with what these individuals have asked for?
On some, you know... this comes back to me. When I was studying religions, one of the people, because I went to a Lutheran university,
mm-hmm.
and Luther was one of the people who was a proponent of the idea that you could not only have faith, but you needed good works with your faith, okay, in order to gain admittance to a high, to let's say heaven. So faith alone could not grant you the keys to heaven. You needed to have good works with your faith to do that. So, and my mother, and I think on some levels, many other people would also believe that, and I don't know if my mother does totally, but I think that the idea when you're here to help others is a part of the growing process. Why? Because ultimately you're just helping yourself. You know what I mean? You're learning to help the bigger part of yourself. But is that really necessary to gain enlightenment, the idea of good works, is it?
Well, what about this? Yes, no, absolutely. I mean, I'm so glad you brought that up. Thank you. You know, I, because again, I'm only growing, and this is only inner dialogue, thoughts that come through my head that I've entertained, and I don't, you know, it's stuff I believe and things that I'm entertaining. What if part of our experience here is to let others know that it's a reward? And helping, what if you know, part of our reward here is helping others discover it's a reward and helping them enjoy their reward. Do you know what I'm saying?
But is that something that is necessary for an individual to do, or is it unnecessary?
I think it's absolutely 1,000% necessary.
So on some level, you believe in Luther's understanding that we're here to do not just have faith in higher power, but also help others to also find their sense of peace or wellness or faith.
Absolutely, because I think that part of, you know, our reward for being here is keeping this place a reward. And whatever we can do to restore that here, do you know what I'm saying? Whatever we can do on our part to keep this place a reward for everybody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there's individuals who've come here who haven't believed it's a reward, and they've let that multiply into many, many different things. And what if part of our journey here, right, part of the reason why we're here is to remind others and to bring back the, and we call it love, and I'm just keeping it in simple terms, the fact that this place is a reward.
I think that's a beautiful sentiment. It would be hard if we were in a third world country to explain that to people that feel that there's nothing rewarding about their lives.
What if, right, you could go like Bono and Warren Buffett and Bill Gates and go restore power to the villages and feed them and help them with their sicknesses so they can get their health back first and foremost, and then educate them, and you know what I mean? Because you can't do it overnight.
You can't. By the way, I want to tweak your brain a little here.
Okay.
I know you're going to... I love this. You know, I was just going to piss you off. Okay, here goes. Have you ever heard of Facebooks?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know that Facebooks and YouTube and MySpace were all in a showdown we're vying for the position of a proponent against terrorism, Middle East terrorism, jihadism, and they were vying to work with the government to see who would be the number one site against terrorists. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard it.
You heard that. Do you know who won?
Who?
Facebook's. Now, is Facebook's Bill Gates' company?
No, not at all.
It's not. Because it said, I just read an article that said, and this is where the night just said, Mr. Gates, and I don't even know if it was.
No, it's not Bill Gates.
It's not. So it must be some other Gates. What do you think of that idea where you have a MySpace or a Facebook's that puts out information and works with the government, because you've got to remember, they're a MySpace form, so they have all the data on you, or as much as they can get, that starts being able to work with the government, work with the CIA, to stop terrorism.
Well, I got to tell you this.
What do you think of that?
This is what I think exactly. First off, I can't tell you if this is true or not, you know what I mean? I'm not there. I'm not the one that created it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I can tell you from reading an article, you know, that I've read that maybe those are the facts. But in reality, I don't know because I'm only human, but I don't work at Facebook. I'm no part of Facebook. I've never heard of this before. So for me to go and make a generalized, you know, me to make a decision on...
Well, it came from Yahoo News. That this article came
for me to
from.
Make a decision on something that I've barely researched and I'm hearing from you, right, which is could be broken telephone, you know, and
but
broken
let's assume
telephone
that it did. Let's
one guy
assume.
Telling another, which turns into something. Until I have the solid situation, I think it's hard for me to make a judgment. If
what
that
do you
is,
think of...
If that is the situation, I mean, I got to tell you...
Do you think that's a form of government... intervention into our privacy and in and of itself a form of manipulation? Do you think that should be right? Do you think, let me give you another example, where we're finding out now that to go across the border, that if you have, let's say you have a laptop with you, or you're flying somewhere to another country, that they have the right not only to confiscate your cellular or your laptop, they have the ability to look at the contents and the information before they let you go without telling you what it is they're looking for. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that that's a result of government. But I gotta tell you, I'm a huge believer in if I'm spreading love and I'm growing the world, I have a force field around me that I'm protected by forces unknown, by others tapping into my energy and seeing that, because we're all connected, every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
We all tap into each other's energy and we know exactly what's going on. Some closed off on that connection so they don't, but subconsciously we're all connected. And I got to tell you, you know, I believe that this is a reward. And I can sit and I can worry about laptops and that they're putting chips in passports and all of this stuff. But I got to tell you, I didn't create that technology. I don't know what they want to do with it. And for me to come up with assumptions and to assume and to
well, what if these aren't assumptions? What I'm kind of telling you is
that hasn't affected me personally until it's affected my personal experience.
Mm.
And it's something that goes from knowledge to knowing. I don't really.
It's
really
hard to relate to it. I understand.
Because,
believe me, I do.
You know, I think as humans, we can sit all day and assume everything. I can assume everything. And I can drive myself absolutely bonkers. And I could probably even get followers to believe what I'm saying.
But at
the end of the day, my truths are only truths to myself.
But here's why I bring this information out. Here's one example.
I guess what I'm saying is this. I'm not searching people's laptops, right? And I'm not Facebook. I don't know why they're doing it, and until it affects my personal truth and my reality, right? And it wakes me up to I can assume all day, but you know what I mean?
I know.
And you're saying, yeah, but it's good to know the facts. It absolutely is good to know the facts and whatever. But until my experience is being affected, like, I don't, you know what I mean? I can assume things all day long. I can, but all I can do on my part as a human being is give love, grow the world, give back what I receive, help others enjoy their reward, and the rest will follow. If there's individuals trying to control others, putting chips in things, searching my laptop, as long as I know that I'm bringing love into this world, I'm protected.
Well, you know, I think that's wonderful, Tyler, I really do. Giving love, but bear in mind what you stated to me earlier with the Luther comment.
Mm-hmm.
On so many levels, the idea of good works to you is important.
Mm-hmm.
With that understanding, you can't always be reactive but proactive. And why I say that is if we were reactive to, let's say, we didn't want to acknowledge that there was a war, or we didn't want to acknowledge that people were getting a bad education, or we didn't want to acknowledge suffering to any level for anyone in this world, would that be wrong? If we didn't even acknowledge it. But it exists.
Yeah, you are good. I love this. See, this is so great, inner dialogue. Again, I'm only one man with an opinion who's nearsighted. I'm only telling you how I look at the world and the pair of glasses that I wear.
You know, I spoke to you earlier about this, and this is really, again, why.
I got
to
tell you, until I'm forced to be drafted into the war and it affects my experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm seeing people die and I'm waking up and I'm I'm upset about the whole thing. It's very complicated. You know what? I got to think on this one because, again, I'm only finding my truth.
We go in and out. On many levels, there's always a balance. You can't go, I think, on one end and just fight the good fight and never find your own happiness. You know, that's almost like an imbalance. So spending a little bit of time on one side of the spectrum and then spending a little bit of time on another side of the spectrum or working in a different way, I think that idea of changing up things a little bit on the daily routine level gives us a broader and a wider perspective. But believe me, I do know that peace can come from not really looking at all these understandings. And let me tell you, at this point in your life, peace is paramount. And the idea that love abounds is a paramount thing, which right now through the in-breath or the out-breath, whichever flow in the cycle that you're in, is important to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I live in today in the present. And what I do today, you know, creates my future. And you can put out a scenario like you just put out, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, you know, because I said as you talk, I can't truthfully give you an answer until I have that experience happen. I can give
you
knowledge. I can give you stuff that I haven't, but I would rather tell you something from a knowing standpoint.
You know what my mother told me?
Knowledge and taking it and experiencing it and then making a comment. Until something like that happens, I, 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 I can't comment.
I'm going to tell you, it doesn't just happen to you. When I was speaking to my mother today, she was saying, you know, Doug, all these ideas that everybody, the young, seem to come up with, like they say, oh, gosh, we just invented the pointed toe shoe. My mom says, well, 40 years ago, that was in fashion. Now people are coming out with a pointed toe shoe, and they think it's so unique because if you're 20 right now, you've never even heard of it. It wasn't even a part of, you know, a generation which understood that those shoes were in fashion. Or, for example, the idea of herbs. You know how we're going back to let's become organic, let's become natural? Well, 3 or 4 generations ago, that was a part of their daily lives.
What about
natural and organic? And yet we think here we are, us new generation, we're inventing the idea of supplements and organics and naturals.
They already existed.
Every cycle exists before and comes back round.
So that ties back into, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all here have our own truth. And just because it's truth to me does not mean it's truth to you. So what if they had to experience the rounded shoe, right? They had to experience all that to finally find truths within themselves that the pointed shoe is where it's at.
Isn't that interesting?
Right? Same with organics. They've gone from, you know, corn dogs and microwavable food and monitoring how they feel and realizing they don't have a lot of energy to being introduced to organics and, like, having different and then finding their own truths. Going, wow, I like this. To microwave food. This is my truth.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
What if that's not, you know, your mom's brilliant with what she says, but what if this world that we live in is just about us finding our truths, enjoying the journey, enjoying the reward more of, helping others realize that this is a reward and finding our own truth.
And having the same cycles of, we all go through birth, we all go through death. And the idea that cycles, for me and my generation, will be similar cycles that every person coming up in this world will have to go through, which is a paramount part of their learning process, is evidenced simply by these trends that come and they go, and we forget about them. Just almost like world government, the idea of a fascist government or a dictatorship government. You know, the young really don't realize it, but it might come a point where that freedom's taken away. And then it comes again. And then a regime might be toppled and a new one is started again for the next generation.
But we
all go through these similar cycles.
What if world government is like round-toed shoes to people? And, you know, what if part of their reward is they would like a world government? And then they get a world government, realize it's garbage, and they'll go back to each other. We own this world. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how many conspiracists are out there. I don't even know if I said that word right, but people that think everything's a conspiracy. I don't care what anybody thinks. Fact is fact. We are in control. Us as individuals. One group of individuals can try to take control and might have control, but they will lose it. It's a circle of
life. Well, here's a bummer.
We are in control, and we can change that at any
time. Are we? Here's a good point. I went out fishing in August for salmon in Washington State, around the Cape of Canada, around Victoria. And on the fish, for the first time, when I was fishing, I saw that these salmon had these lice. 2 to 3 lice behind every fin. Like on the fin on the right side, you'd see these little lice. I don't even know how big they are. A few millimeters in length. They're black. And there would be 3 of them. Either 2 or 3 on each of the fins, right beside the fin in the back of the fish. They say now that these lice are killing fish. Okay? That's how bad and polluted the water is.
I got to tell you, I think part of your reward is finding the negatives in everything. I think there's something about you that really, I think you'll never admit it, you'll only admit it within yourself, that enjoys finding negatives because it makes you feel better.
Maybe.
Weird, twisted thing.
But what worries me is
negatives makes you feel better.
You know what worries me, kind of, though?
Wow,
in another generation, They won't be thinking that there could have been good salmon. There might be 10 lice. Fish will be half rotted, and they'll think, "Oh well, that's pretty good. We don't know any differently."
Well, I got to tell you, I will never ever say it, and I keep that promise to everybody and myself. I got to tell you honestly, I don't know. I can't predict the future. I never will be able to predict the future. All I can tell you is my truth and my experience, and I truly believe, what if for Douglas Newsom in an alternative universe, the world already ended? And what if you're just in my experience, where I believe that love will be restored to the world, and you know what I mean?
Hey, I like the idea where love is going to be restored to the world.
All I know is my truth. I can't predict anything, and that's...
I can predict the sun will come up tomorrow.
I love that. You're good.
Tyler, you know what? Our time is up. It is ended. Can you believe that? We're actually going overboard.
We are overboard.
Can you believe? I want to say to everybody out there, we love you. We thank you for joining our inner dialogue. We hope that you will all have your own inner dialogue. Be open to other people's inner dialogue. And until next week, same time, 9 p.m., this is Douglas Newsom and
Tyler Gallagher saying, find your own truth, everybody.
All our best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.